God moments, nothing like God moments, you know. God moments can overcome and overwhelm anything, and it's a good thing to learn to look for them and expect them, and perhaps at the most opportune times, which are inopportunes in our life, at those times, expecting God to show up, to provide the peace. You know, there's no peace like the peace that God gives, and it's a promise of it. There is none like Him, and what a thing! I don't know. It's such a gift when we come to that place where we become certain that there is no one like Him. Everything around us tries to disturb us, tries to distract us, tries to keep us from God, tries to argue against God. Now, that would probably be why the Scripture says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because when we know that there's none like God, then we know that God is able. And when we allow God to take charge of our lives, you know, people say, well, God is in control. Well, we've talked about that before. He's in control of what we give Him control of. Because if we just put Him in control of everything, then that means we're putting Him in control of bad things that come at us too. And if we think that God's sending bad things to us, how are we going to ask Him for good things? If God is causing us the problem, you know, we've talked about that, that if God's giving people sickness, then we have no business praying for people that are sick. Because we would be praying against the will of God. So then the ultimate goal of the enemy is to put us out in the grandstands. You know what people do in the grandstands, don't you? They cheer for the people that they like. They complain about the people that they don't like. And they're very seldom satisfied with the coach. Well, we don't want to be grandstand Christians, do we? Because we don't want to be complaining about the coach. And yet a lot of people who I won't say whether people are Christians or not, but a lot of people who are uninformed Christians spend just about as much time complaining about the coach as they do about the good things that the coach does. In fact, many of those people will see bad things as the coach's problem and good things as just things that happen. Maybe that they earned or that they deserved or that they got lucky or whatever the case might be. And man, that's a tough way to live. Because once we've understood there's no one like God, then we begin to depend on God. And He said, if you learn to depend on Me, then you'll never be disappointed. Never be disappointed. Never be disappointed. Never be disappointed. Now, that doesn't mean we won't be disappointed in life. Because in this life we'll have tribulation. But we'll never be disappointed in God. We'll never find Him standing afar off. We'll never be away from the peace that He offers. We'll never be away from the joy that He offers. Nothing. You know, there's nothing compares to God. There's no person, there's no place, there's no thing. Nothing compares to God. And so that means nothing good is gooder than God. And nothing bad can possibly overwhelm God. And so we, as we come more and more to know God and to trust God, we expect God to overwhelm our circumstances. We expect God to overcome. We expect God to comfort. We expect God to provide. We and And we learn an amazing thing. We learn to be patient with God. Because we know that He said that if we call, He will answer. And so we learn to enjoy well, James said we can rejoice in trials also. Hello? Well, we're not rejoicing in the trial. We're rejoicing in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will appreciate the Lord. You know, I've told about, you know, Joshua had a thing with tornadoes, and he was really scared of storms. And then we ended up in a tornado that we were enjoying watching. It was a wonderful thundercloud build. You know, my wife taught me to watch them build. I never paid much of attention to them. She said, "Have you been watching that?" "No." "What is that?" "Oh, watch that." So we were watching, and man, it's puff and puff and puff and puff and puff. And then as the wind began to pick up, "Oh, we should go home." And then the sirens went off. And then we had to go to the shelter. But we were safe in the shelter. And safe in the shelter of the Lord is a good place to live. We can choose to worry, we can choose to wonder, we can choose to doubt, we can choose all of those things, but those bring us no comfort. But what does bring us comfort is, I will put my trust in the Lord. Because there is none like God. There is no one, there is none, there is nothing that compares. Nothing compares to you, Lord. I mean, to simply face anything that comes at us and just face it saying, you know, nothing compares to you, Lord. Nothing can stand up against you, Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You know? Jordan and I just rode through the hills, and we were so blessed because there were a couple of times where we were going, it did not look like the weatherman had any idea what he was talking about. And so I would be riding going, looking at the clouds, looking at going, oh, we don't want to do this. I'd be talking to the Lord. I'd be saying, "Lord, I've ridden through one of those before. I don't really want to. I can do it. I sure don't want Jordan to have to ride through that." And as we would keep going, the clouds would go somewhere else, and we would end up going where we wanted to go and have a beautiful day, and then coming back, it would look like it was going to be troublesome again. But I would be talking to the Lord about this, and I'd be just doing, and we ended up, we were not in one storm. Coming home yesterday, Vicki texted me, Friday, and she said, "You better stay on the freeway. You better go to Reliance because the storm's at Phillip. It's north of you." And so I'm riding along, and I'm looking, and I get to the Phillip exit, and I look, and I go, "Doesn't look too bad there. That's okay. You know, we're going to keep going." I wasn't seeing rain, but I'm not a weatherman, so I don't know. Keeping on going, and we get, so I'm going, and I'm planning on going to Reliance, and I get about 8 miles from Vivian, and I'm going, "Ooh, I don't look good going to Reliance." It was dark and ugly. And so I pulled off at Vivian, and there was a text from Vicki. Storm dropped. I could sense her. I could sense what she was doing when she was going, "The storm dropped." I said, "I see it." I was just hoping it dropped a little further east so that it didn't drop on me. And I rode up from Vivian to Pier, and I could see where it had come across, and I'd missed it, and I'm praising the Lord, and I'm thanking Jesus, and I had an extra reason to thank Jesus because I was going to get to Fort Pier in time to see the motorcycle guy. I wanted him to look at my tires because I had one tire was kind of cupping, and I'm pretty picky about the tires on the motorcycle. And so he comes out to look, and he looks at the front, and the front's got pretty good rubber on, and he looks at the back. He says, "Whoa, you need a tire now." I'd been checking the tires, but I just hadn't checked it in the right spot. And about 3/4 of my back tire has the cord showing in the middle. And I've been cruising 80 miles an hour on the interstate. I'm just cruising home, man. And I'm cruising 70 up to Fort Pierre. And he says, you need tires now. I'm going, can I get to Highmore and back? He said, just be prepared. So from Fort Pierre to Highmore, I'm going 55 or 60. And I'm listening. Now I'm thinking, boy, those tires don't sound good. I don't know. And I get home and I look. And man, when I looked, I'm going, I might put that on the trailer to go back to get it. I'll make a quality decision about that on that day. But, you know, the thing is that in all of that time, I felt like I was in the shadow of the Most High. I was thankful that I have put my trust in the Lord. And so I was able to go, whoa, Lord, we were curves and hills and around in the hills. And those cords didn't just show up in the last 200 miles. They were there, I'm guessing, while we were riding in the hills. That would not be good. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting me. I didn't see it. I just know you took care of it. And, oh, my goodness, Lord, 80 miles an hour on those tires. And, you know, and so now as I'm riding home to Highmore, and I'm being very careful, and I'm going, ooh, you know, I don't want to be foolish now. It's like the Lord said, do you think I'm going to quit taking care of you now? No, sir, but I won't drive. I'm not going to drive 80 because I'll get a speeding ticket. You know? See, that's not a big deal, kind of, sort of, but it is a big deal if the tire blows out. So then does that mean that everybody that has a flat tire didn't trust the Lord? Or does that mean that I would never get a flat tire? I would run a pretty good chance if I decided to get 3,000 or 4,000 more miles out of those tires. I don't really want to experience a flat tire on a motorcycle. I'm not exactly sure what that would be like. I think the back would be better than the front. But I don't want to pull over to the side and wait for somebody to pick me up. I don't want that at all. So now that I know, I probably should be wise. Now, sometimes we can refuse to be wise even after we know. To him who knows what is right and does it not. When we know what the Lord has said and we work our way around it, and the fact that we know what he has said means that he has given us the wisdom, and he gave us the wisdom so we wouldn't work our way around it. And not everything in our relationship with the Lord is necessarily pleasant to begin with. It doesn't always taste good. I remember long ago when we were riding in the car and the kids stuck one of those things in my mouth. They wanted me to have that thing, and there was nothing pleasant about it. The only thing pleasant about it was the big kick the kids got out of it. You know, laughing at Daddy. Well, if I can provide entertainment when all of us are in the car, that's probably a pretty good deal, you know. But it wasn't pleasant, but the outcome was pleasant because, you know, now the kids sometimes still tell about the same story. It's a memory. You know? Jordan and I were doing Facebook Lives on the trip. Those will be memories. You know? And we'll remember most of the trip that way. Those are good things that the Lord provides us. And even in the worst of circumstances, we can find solace in the Lord. And we don't have to look real hard. We just have to let it in. As Judy said, lift up your heads, O the gates, and the King of Glory will come in. And be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. And God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. I'll take care of you. And in the time between the need and the care, there's a comfort. There's that keeping power of God that is always there to sustain us. And there, we may have bumps, we may have doubts, we may have things in the route, we may have crooked roads that he has to make straight and rough roads that he has to make smooth, but he's always there. And so even though we may have a little trepidation, we trust him and we step in. And there's relief and there's release, and then maybe there's another bump, and then there's relief and there's release, you know? I mean, it's like, I was much, much more aware of being real, real careful as I drove down the road, because I didn't want to get the middle of my tire on anything rough. Because it made me feel better that I wasn't going to put myself in danger, maybe. But we become aware of things in our walk with God. Sometimes in our walk of God, we become aware of weak points. But we wouldn't know that they were there if we weren't made aware. And once we know that they're aware, now we have a place to build a fence. Now we have a place to work at it. And sometimes when we're building up our defenses and we're building up our trust in the Lord, there's some extra work. Shiloh and Forrest are in the process of trying to replace a section of their fence. And when they went to try to replace a section of the fence, they found huge pieces of concrete that they had to try to get out. And so the day that Forrest thought the fence would be finished, he found out that the fence is barely getting started because there's these big things that must be obstructions, and because the fences are in certain sections, you know, I'm thinking I'd rearrange where the posts go, you know, but I'm not sure how that would be, but maybe I'll get a chance to help with that. But the thing was, is that the delay in the fix was because, well, we'll get it fixed, and then all of a sudden you start to work on the fix, and it's like, yowzer, this was a bigger mess than I thought that it was going to be, and how are we going to fix it? And we run into things in our walk with God that just seem not fixable. But because we have confidence in him, because we have faith in him, we don't try. We can't fix it. We can cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. And we all know that you can't just cast a care once. You better be prepared to cast it again and again and again and again, because cares are funny things. They come in families. And there's a lot more in that family than we realize, because we can take care of one portion of the care and then there's another portion that comes. The care doesn't just come in a package that we can cast off and it's all over. The care comes in pieces, and we have to keep casting and keep casting and keep casting and keep casting. And each time we cast, we get a victory, and we cast another and we get a victory. And pretty soon, if we've got enough of those bundled up and we've won and we've taken the comfort of the Lord, now then those cares become trash. Not to even be considered. Not to even be thought of. But just put away. Just put away. We become like the old prophet of old, the old preacher of old that woke up in the night afraid, startled. And then he looked and he said, "Oh, it's just you, devil." And he went back to sleep. See? It doesn't mean that we'll never have fear. It doesn't mean that we'll never have tribulation. It never means anything. But bringing ourselves into the simplicity of the truth that there is none like God. There is none like you, God. You can handle this. And the way that we find out how good he is at handling things is letting him handle it. See, God said of himself, "There's no one like me. I am the Lord, there is none like me." So that's why Scripture tells us that no one can please God without faith. In order to have faith, you've got to believe that God is. You got to believe, we've got to believe that God is who he says he is. Now, these are things that we know, and we know them so well, we forget to consider them. And when we forget to consider them, we begin to lose those things. And so then we listen to Paul, who said, you know, my concern is that you will forget the simplicity that is in Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we were all that. And the good news is that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And with that good news comes the whole package. You can trust in the Lord. But he can't make us trust in him. We will trust in him, but he will reinforce our trust. He said, prove me in this. 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 So that anything comes up in our life, if we will consider it, we'll hear the Lord say, prove me in this one, Roger. Prove me in this. Prove me in this. Prove that I'm faithful. Prove that I'm true. Prove that I'm peace. Prove that I'm love. Prove that I'm joy. You prove it, because I will confirm it through you. You will receive it and you will express it. And so I made myself a challenge today. I put it right at the bottom of the devotion. Is that it? That is, the Bible tells us to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I have a new desire to be transformed daily. A God moment. To recognize a God moment. To recognize a transformation. A transformation in my attitude. A transformation in my thoughts. A transformation in my actions. Whatever it is, but to note it. Each day, to take note of God moments where he transforms me, or he redirects me, or where he directs me, where he corrects me, or where he confirms me, or where he consoles me. You know, those moments, and to recognize that was a God moment, that was a transforming moment. Because you see, we've got them going on all the time. And we've got opportunities for them all of the time. When a person's riding a motorcycle, you have an opportunity to have your thoughts transformed the moment that somebody cuts you off. Or the moment that somebody, we were riding and when I would be leading, I'd be watching Jordan all the time, which sort of takes a little bit of the fun out of the riding, because I'm concerned about him. And I would see people, you know, like tailgating him or something. Or one day he was over to the right side of his lane and I saw somebody coming up and I said, that guy is going to just come right past Jordan. He's barely going to get in his own lane. That's exactly what he did. And I'm thinking, oh, but fortunately Jordan didn't weave over and get hit. The guy was passing on a double yellow line because it was in the hills and he had to get somewhere fast, and you know, and I was so thankful he didn't hit Jordan that I didn't have an opportunity to think rotten of that guy. Because it was a moment. Now, I didn't recognize it then because I wasn't looking for moments, but I look at it now and I see it was a moment when God made me aware of what was coming behind us, and he took care of it. That's a God moment. And you've got those all the time. You've got those. And we know when those things are coming, so we can be made aware of them. So that when people say, this is going to be terrible, we can say, it would be without God. But I'll be fine. At the moment where we allow that presence of God and that peace of God to transform us, somebody else gets to be transformed by seeing what God is doing too. That doesn't mean everybody's going to buy that. But somebody might. Somebody just might. You know, when we're out there and I'm certain that the Lord has helped us to avoid the storm, somebody's going to believe it when I say that the Lord helped us get the storm. Somebody else is going to say, boy, you were lucky. And I'm just going to reinstill the fact of, we prayed. There was no luck involved in that. They might scoff, but they might think too. It can't hurt. And this is what God has promised us. And this is why it's important for us to have sealed in our minds, there is none like God. And God is for me. God is for me. So that I'm not going to receive anything when somebody tries to tell me that God is against me. God says, remember the things I have done in the past. Now, some people, they'll look at that. Yeah, he killed people. He destroyed people. He did all that, you know. He did all that. Okay, if you're going to remember everything that he did, then remember why he did everything that he did. And then remember that the ultimate thing of the thing that he did was he sent Jesus to fulfill all of that. And give us the opportunity to live in a world with God, who is God, and there is none like him. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God moments. God moments that God has prepared for you. Watch for them. Appreciate them. Grow in them. And watch for them. Expect them. Because those moments are life-changing. Life-changing. Father, this is what we ask. This is what we ask of you today. That you make us even more perceptive than ever about God moments. That we just recognize them. And we just recognize you, Lord. And that we just receive those things. And that we grow in those things. And that we have those things now in our library to pass on. Grant us eyes. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts to see you working in our lives. And open our eyes to see where you want to work in other lives. And we give you praise for this, Lord. We give you glory. We give you thanks. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.